Good morning. The reading is on page 980 of the Pew Bible, and it's from Matthew chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 9. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Thanks be to God.
It's good to see Chris in such good form today. I don't know.
He was up half the night, if not all of the night, as far as I know, partying and celebrating his half century. So I think we should give him a very big clap. Yeah. He looks in good form to me. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your holy presence with us and in us. Thank you for what you are doing among us and in spite of us. We rejoice in your presence and we pray that your Spirit might enable us to have open ears to your word that we have heard and that we seek to apply to the lives you have called us to live for the glory of Jesus our Saviour. Amen. I just come up from Quakers Road, a very moving service of Holy Communion. Lots of people engaged in God's ways. I walk into here and I see a sea of faces. Some wondering, some feeling, oh, what's this all about? Others just lost in worship, in wonder, love, and praise. Arms outstretched in abandonment to God. The Spirit so palpable, so blessing the praises of God's people and the prayer that's offered through worship. And I'm convinced again that God is doing a mighty work among his people. God is building his church, and God is building a house of prayer, because that is what God calls his church to be, and we have a real vision and a longing and a God-inspired heart that Christ Church might be a house, indeed a powerhouse of prayer, not only for this community, for the wider world. And who knows what God can do when God's people are passionate in their praying, in their entering into God's purposes. And this building, these walls, this structure is and always has been a house of prayer. It has a huge significance in the life of this community, as parish churches do increasingly these days. St. Peter's Church in Machynlleth is now open 24 hours a day with prayer vigils every evening. Kathleen Rogers, the priest in charge there, said, "We are trying to provide a space for people simply to be silent or to pray." Because that is what people do in huge times of crisis, what people long to have in their communities, a place to be silent, to pray, to mark, to light candles, to remember, and to cry out to God in their places, wherever that may be. And a building has a significance for that. And that's part of our vision, that this building may become a house of prayer where people can find the life of God, an environment for people to come and be in God's holy presence more and more. And on Tuesdays, we're finding that as we open the church from 7 o'clock in the morning, people are coming and in the dark and simply being present to God. God is meeting with us as we go through that time of openness to each other, openness to God, and openness to our community. People are coming, many of whom may not have even been in the church ever before. And somebody said to Diane, you know, I felt today, they'd spent an hour in church, that I've been in a spiritual health spa. I feel washed all over. The church is a place of prayer. And this building is centered on prayer of the God who is present among us. Jesus taught us to pray, as we heard, Father in heaven, to come first to God and to rejoice that he is the God that we all share, our Father, and that he is an awesome, holy, beyond everything God. He is in heaven, but present with us by his Spirit. Hallowed, holy. May your character, your name, be one that is honored by my own life and by others. So the first place of prayer is the place of being present to the God who is present to us as Father. There could not be a more intimate relationship to be in. But Jesus also invited us to think not only of God in this place of intimacy with him, but also as God where he is in the everyday dealings of life outside the church building. And he prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus invited his disciples to come to him, but also to go and make other disciples, that they too might find this coming to Jesus and going into the world to live the life that he's invited us to live. And I was only reading this morning in Oswald Chambers' powerful meditations on different readings. He said in that passage, referring to the call and the commission of the disciples, that to go is to live. The going is not going on special missionary trips to Africa or to Spain or wherever it might be necessarily, or it would include that. Go means to live. Live your life and make disciples of the people that you are living among. And this is reflected in the teaching of St. Peter, who was one of those who went and lived his life as a fisherman and then as a person who would continue to live the life of Christ where he was after Christ died and rose again and commissioned them. And he said to his ordinary fellow Christians in Asia Minor in 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 4, he says, as you come to him, that living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, that is the coming, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Remarkable words, but very similar to what the Lord's Prayer pattern gives us. There is a coming to Christ, Christ revealing the Father, our Father. But it's from that place, allowing God to build us into living stones who are people who offer spiritual sacrifices to God, a holy priesthood. Now, what did the priest do? What was the main role of priesthood as Jesus would have understood it? What is the main role of priesthood as portrayed in Hebrews about Jesus? Can anybody give me a word? The clue's in the theme. What was the main purpose of the priesthood in relation to the people and the world around? To spread the word. Yeah, it could do that.
To represent man to God.
Yeah, that's right. To represent man to God and to be a person who spread the word. But he was primarily relating to sacrifices, physical sacrifices. But with those sacrifices, the prayers of God's people that were part of that sacrificial system would be offered to God. The priest was the man of prayer. The priest was the man of prayer. And therefore, when Peter says, like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, what is he saying to us as those living stones? We are to be people of prayer. And not just people who pray in church or in our quiet times, as we like to call them as evangelicals, but wherever we are in life, on the front line. And that, I think, is what God seems to be doing more and more amongst us all as we commit to seeking what it means to live a life that is representing, honoring God, offering these sacrifices of prayer, and offering our giving as a sacrifice to God. And there is a story I'd like to share with you, who I'm not going to tell, but one of our church is going to share, of how this is happening in her life. And I want to introduce to you Rosie Bryden. Many of you know her already. Rosie, just come forward. You'll remember Rosie, some of you, if you were here 3 years ago, will remember us praying for Rosie as she felt, oh my goodness, what's going on now? And you were appointed a head teacher at Frampton Cotterill, but a real sense of calling to that work. And we've got Rosie, a lovely photograph of you. She doesn't want to see.
It's so embarrassing.
But to us, it looks lovely. Rosie at her school in Frampton Cotterill, Church of England Primary School. And we've got one or two of you just in the classroom showing how engaging with the children in worship, leading them in prayer, focusing on candle, the cross and the Bible, and just revealing what's in the box and telling a story in a multisensory way. Rosie lives out that Christian faith where she is in her front line in her school. But Rosie, just tell us how you bring prayer into that place.
Thank you, Joe. Hello, everybody. There's four things, really, I want to say about praying at school. The first thing is really the encouragement of praying with other people. When I moved to the school, a group of friends came round the school with me in the summer holiday praying in each classroom. And over the coming year, I saw quite a lot of things happening that I had nothing to do with. They really could only have been God working. And then in the second summer holiday, again, I took some friends round with me. And Clive and Anne came round as part of that group of friends. And we went into the classroom of one teacher who was having quite a bit of trouble in life and was going through quite a difficult time. And while we were praying in there, Clive had a picture which spoke directly, really, into this person's circumstances. And we were able then to pray from Clive's picture for this teacher's life. And during the coming months, the hard time continued for them, but I felt there was a real encouragement that God was taking them into something new. There was a real promise in the picture. And over the next 3 or 4 months, God worked this through in this teacher's life, and they are now in a place where their life is completely different. They're completely released and happy, and they've come into a time in their life of real blessing. And that, I think, started for me when Clive had that picture. It was really, really encouraging, and it helped me to hang on. And because this teacher was also a Christian, I was able to share the picture with them when the time seemed right, and that was an encouragement to them. After that, sorry, Joe, I'm going on rather a long time. I want to talk really about the power in God's word, and I think I've spoken about this before, how God has really used particularly the Old Testament to help encourage me to be really a warrior at school, I suppose, to see things in spiritual terms. Sometimes we can keep our eyes on too much on what's happening down below, and we miss what actually God is wanting to do. And I think that God is trying to turn us into prayer warriors, really. There was a situation in another class that was very worrying and needed something to happen about it. And God pointed me to the story of Joshua, where Joshua marches around Jericho seven times, blowing the trumpets, and on the seventh day the walls fall down. But all the time Joshua is doing those 7 days, he's just having to trust God, and he's looking a bit of a fool in the process. And so really taking that story as encouragement from God, I went in and I prayed around the class every morning for 7 days, and then subsequently to that I prayed every week. And I really felt that God was promising that he was at work and that something was actually happening. And I had to wait. It didn't happen immediately. In fact, various things got in the way of the situation being resolved. But all the time, I had the quiet confidence that actually God had decided that something was going to happen. God was going to act. And then eventually, I saw the outworking of that. So that was really great. I still try to pray around the school every Monday when I go in. And to start with, I really thought that I was taking God around the school and inviting him to help me in the work. But that's my perception of that has completely changed. And actually, I see very much that God is already there at work. He's already there. And actually, it's me who's being invited to go around and join in the work with him. So that's kind of a change in my perception. The final thing I want to say is really the whole point of prayer in spiritual warfare. I think that Satan is trying to trip us up all the time, and he knows us very well, and he knows our weak spots. And the way that Satan gets at me quite often is to say, you know, you're rubbish, you're not really up to the job, you know, you're not intelligent enough, you're not wise enough, you can't do it, you know, all these things going on, there's too much for you, you can't manage it all. And that is very discouraging, but actually it's also dishonouring to God, because he's put you in that place in order for you to do his work. And if you listen to thoughts like that, you're actually stopping God from being able to use you where you are. And so I think that God calls us to stand up to those kind of thoughts and to say, I'm not accepting that. This is where God's put me. Okay, I may not be perfect, but that's why I need to rest in God and to rely on God and just to trust him. And finally, I'm sorry, Joe. Finally, just to say that give a teacher the lecture, you know, and they just go on. What can I say? Finally, really just to say that it is in the tough times that we really see God at work in our lives. And if we didn't have those tough times, we wouldn't do the growing, you know. And I just want to thank Howard for a fortnight ago standing up and sharing with us. And that, to me, was so powerful, and it stayed with me, his testimony. And I think it's the tough times where we really see God at work, and he's inviting us to join in and grow to maturity.
Just before Rosie goes, it's just so wonderful to be able to hear what you've said and to be able to hear God at work in your workplace. And Howard is going to pray in a moment for you and for us all. But if there is there one thing that you could ask us as a church to pray for you, what would that be?
Wisdom and strength and courage. Those okay. are the three things. I can't have just one, I'm sorry.
All right. Have you got that, Howard? Wisdom, strength and courage. Well, Rosie shows them in abundance. Thank you. I think the point that comes through very strongly is that Rosie, like a living stone, is being built into this spiritual temple. She is acting, she is priest in that place.
She is part of the royal priesthood that Christ enables us all to be people of prayer, men, women, young people and children of prayer. Because Rosie discovered by God's grace, it's only unless God builds the house, those who labour, labour in vain. In vain you get up before dawn and go to bed very late, you know, burning the candles at both ends. The psalm tells us very clearly that it's only God's work. And part of our work as God's people is to learn how to see what God is doing in the workplace, in the homes, wherever we might be called to be. And so I want to thank God that he is doing a work among us that is quite remarkable, building us into a house of prayer. And we are all part of that. We support one another. We are like the stones on this building, standing on each other's shoulders, as it were, supporting one another. Did you notice how Rosie said about Clive and Anne, who'd had that picture and went into the school with her? How Sue Wootton had prayed with her and helped her to see that vision as well. And I want to commit myself with you all, I hope, to praying for one another where we are. You might want to use the church directory to use that. Graham gave that idea to us a little while ago, and now at morning prayer we pray for four people who are part of this church every single morning by name, different people in different ways. And we want to say to God, Lord, this is your work, but we want to go with you on it. We want to draw on the resources that are there. London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, LICC, I've referred to it in the pew sheet. The wonderful resources that they provide to help us on that journey. Their mission is to equip the people of God for mission together in the whole of life. So do seek to be learners, to draw from those resources that are there to help us, but most of all, to come to Christ, that living stone, and have ourselves built into this living temple, this house of prayer that God is making us into, and by his grace shall complete his work. And I'm going to invite us to just be still, and if the worship group would like to come and play a very simple song, which we've prayed quite a while ago. And somebody said to me a little while ago, Joe, we haven't had that song, that prayer, for ages. Why can't we sing it again? And that reminded me that we need to be continually praying, Lord, make me a house of prayer. Make us a house of prayer, that we might meet you there on behalf of the nation to a dying generation. Make us a house of prayer. So I'm going to suggest we sing this quietly. The worship group are going to lead us, and then Howard is going to lead us in our prayers for others and for each other.